We're turning for our Bible reading this morning, or our main Bible reading this morning, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, and reading verses 1 to 14, and then 36 to 44. Page 874 in our church Bibles, Matthew 24 at verse 1. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, "Do you not see all these things? I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows, and they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. And many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come." And verse 36. "For of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." We thank God for his word this morning. As we read our Bibles, we find some great promises, and we find great fulfillments of those promises in respect of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are the great promises regarding his coming into the world And then, as Paul writes in Galatians 4 and verse 4, but when the time had fully come, God sent forth his Son. There was the promise, there was the fulfillment. There are the great promises that the Lord Jesus Christ will save his people from their sin and reconcile them to God. And then, as Peter writes in 1 Peter 2 and verse 24, he himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. There are the great promises that the Lord Jesus would rise from the dead, triumphant over sin and death and hell. And then, as Peter said on the day of Pentecost, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. There are the great promises in respect of the ascension of Jesus into heaven. And then, as Luke writes in Acts 1 and verse 9 and following, now when he, that is Jesus, had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight, and saw him go into heaven. These are all great and significant promises in respect of the Lord Jesus. And I hope the promise and their fulfillment is something that we can all rejoice in this morning. That Jesus has come. That Jesus has died for us. That Jesus has risen from the dead. That Jesus has ascended into heaven and represents us there. But had we read on, we would have seen another great and significant promise regarding the Lord Jesus that to date has not been fulfilled. At the ascension of Jesus, the two men who stood beside the disciples in white apparel said to them, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, whom was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." Jesus is coming again. And this morning I want us to spend a little time thinking about the promised return of our Lord. And I want to leave with you a verse of Scripture. People don't often preach from verses of Scripture these days, but I'm going to this morning, God willing. And it's Matthew 24 and verse 44. "Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect him." And I've got 3 points. Point number one, Jesus is coming again. Point number two, he is coming unexpectedly. And point number three, therefore we need to be ready. Firstly, Jesus is coming again. The New Testament is full of references to the return of the Lord Jesus. Sadly, I have discovered that some, even some who claim to be Christians, have taken it upon themselves to deny that Jesus is coming again. Now, to my mind, it is the height of arrogance to presume to know better than what God has revealed in his word, and to contradict the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. However, what these people cannot deny is that the second coming of Christ is prominent on the pages of Scripture. Prominent, especially on the pages of our New Testament. What's more, the Lord Jesus himself spoke freely of his return. He had come to save all who believe in him from sin and the wages of sin, eternal separation from God. He had come to open the kingdom of heaven to all who repent and receive him as their saviour and their king. And he looked forward to the day when all who will believe do believe, and his kingdom is complete. And as he tells us in Matthew 24 and verse 31, he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Jesus also taught about his second coming in a number of his parables. He spoke about it, for instance, in the parable of the five wise and five foolish bridesmaids. And he spoke about it in the parable of the landowner who went on a long journey, leaving his servants in charge and then returning and calling them to account. On occasions, when he talked to his disciples and to us through them of the cost of trusting and following the Lord Jesus, he would add a word of comfort, reminding his people of the glory when he returns. In Matthew 16 and verse 27, for instance, he says, "For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works." And what could be more comforting than those wonderful words that Jesus utters in John 14 and verses 1 to 3, when he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." The second coming of Christ was very much a part and parcel of the teaching of Jesus himself. And it's also very much a part of the remainder of the New Testament. As we saw a moment ago, on the day of Pentecost, in Acts 1 and verse 11, at the Ascension, two unidentified messengers from heaven said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." 1 Thessalonians 4 and verses 15 and following, Paul, guided, we believe, by the Holy Spirit, says the Lord himself will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. than we who are alive. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. I'm not the greatest fan of the New King James Version of the Bible. It's all right. But I do love the ending there. We shall always be with the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? If we are Christians, if we belong to him. Just as the hoardings at a station might announce the return of a star from stage or the sporting world, the Bible announces the coming again of the greatest star of all, the Lord Jesus Christ. But why is he coming? He's coming to end this evil world and to bring in a new heaven and a new earth where everything will be just as he wants it to be, perfect. Once when I was preaching in Dis in Norfolk, with a twinkle in my eye, I suggested that Dis had a lot to answer for. There's disbelief. There's disobedience. There's disagreement. There's disappointment. There's distress. All these different things are part and parcel of our world, aren't they? But all these things will be consigned to history when Jesus ushers in his kingdom. And Peter tells us it will be incorruptible, undefiled. There will be nothing that spoils. Timothy Dudley Smith, in one of his hymns, writes of the world at this present time, a world where right is wrong and truth is lies. Sad state of affairs, isn't it? But we recognize it, don't we? We live in a world where right is wrong and truth is lies. Doesn't that make us long for a new heaven and earth where nothing spoils and nothing is spoiled? All around us, we see traces of God's wonderful creating skills. But none of us has seen the world as it was originally made, fresh from the hands of our Creator. But we will then. And we will be lost in wonder, love, and praise. He's coming to end this evil world, to usher in a new heaven and a new earth. He's also coming to judge mankind. He's coming to call his people to account. He's coming to reward his faithful followers. He's coming to glorify his people. That's astonishing, isn't it? As John tells us, when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And he's coming to take his people home. And then secondly, the coming of the Lord Jesus will be unexpected. Now we might ask, but doesn't the Bible give indicators of Christ's return? So will it be unexpected? Yes, it will be unexpected. But it is true that he gives indicators of Christ's return. The gospel gives many pointers to the coming again of Jesus. Indeed, many of the events leading up to the fall of Jerusalem in AD 70 are also mentioned as pointers to the coming again of Jesus. The gospel mentions, and we saw them in our reading this morning, or some of them, but the gospels as a whole mention false teachers. It mentions wars and rumours of wars. It mentions earthquakes. It mentions famines. It mentions pestilences. And coronavirus is a current example. Christian believers will witness apostasy and suffer persecution. The Antichrist will be at work. And yet, the gospel will be preached in all the world. And Paul particularly mentions that there will be a turning to Christ amongst the people of Israel. But despite all these indicators, no one will be able to predict the time when Christ returns. The message remains that he will return at an hour you do not expect. Many thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear while Jesus was living on earth. But Jesus had to correct them in Luke 19 and verses 11 and following by telling them the parable of the nobleman who was going away, leaving his servants to carry on his work. And then, after a long time, the Lord of those servants returned. Indeed, Peter tells us that the Lord's return could be far enough away for his people, for people to scoff and say, "Where is this coming he promised?" And humanly speaking, it has been a long time. And people do scoff at this Bible teaching. Indeed, some regard any who believe it to be naive. That's being kind. In the face of this, it may be comforting to know that some of the best brains in our country share our faith. But we should be satisfied that God, who does not lie, has made this known, and pray that those who scoff may yet open their Bibles and discover why the Lord is waiting to return. For Peter writes, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night." We have that wonderful assurance that the Lord Jesus is waiting until the last person who will come does come. And then he will return. But it will be unexpected. So what can we learn from the indicators of Christ's return that have happened throughout history? I'm sure you'll be able to think of others, but I just want to mention five. Firstly, they remind us that the time from the resurrection of Christ to the day of his return are what the Bible calls the last days. Two, they remind us that God's time perspective is different to ours. As Peter says, "With the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day." God's time perspective is different to ours. And thirdly, when these things happen, as the coronavirus has happened, they remind us that we are not in control. We weren't, were we? We're still not. Even arguably the most powerful person in our country at this time, our Prime Minister, succumbed to the coronavirus. He was not in control. In fact, he nearly lost his life because of it. Jesus encourages us at such a time, when we realize that we're not in control, to look up. To look to him. And if we look to him as his people, we will find grace to help us in our time of need. And we will be reminded of the glorious hope that we have as his people. And so let's pray that this will be a catalyst that causes many more to look to him. In fact, this morning, I was reading of a most unexpected place where it's happening. In a Roman Catholic diocese in the south of France, where 700 people, because of the coronavirus lockdown, are studying the scriptures. Just pray that the word of God will be powerful in their lives. And four, as we see the devastation that these things bring, the believer knows that there are better times to come. Indeed, the best. The kingdom of our God. And let us pray that this will cause others to long for something better. And to find it in Christ. And five. Of course, they remind us that although we do not know the day when the Lord will return, we are one day closer to that day. And so what does Jesus urge us to do? My third point. Be ready. Be ready. How can we be ready? We can be ready by repenting of our sin and receiving him as our Saviour and our Lord, knowing that he will not turn away anyone who comes to him. He says, and this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I will raise him up at that last day. It's important that we register that. It's repenting and trusting and following Christ that really counts. Did you know that there are people who think that being British means you are a Christian and guarantees you a place in heaven? But it doesn't. Did you know that some believe being born to Christian parents makes you a Christian and guarantees you a place in heaven? It doesn't. Did you know that some believe that coming to church makes you a Christian and guarantees you a place in heaven? It doesn't. Did you know that some believe that doing good deeds makes you a Christian and guarantees you a place in heaven? It doesn't. Did you know that some believe that doing extraordinary things in Christ's name makes you a Christian and guarantees you a place in heaven? It doesn't. But you can be ready. By repenting of your sin and receiving him as your Saviour and Lord, knowing that he will not turn away anyone who comes to him. Coming to him who says, this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Read those precious words again in John 3 and verse 16. John 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then at the end of that chapter, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. But he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. And having come to Christ, let us endeavour to remain in a state of readiness for his return. Let us remember that Jesus also said, "He who endures to the end shall be saved," verse 13. A mark of a genuine Christian who has come to Christ and is trusting in Christ is that they keep on keeping on following Christ. We also need to remember that during this life, we are continually vulnerable to temptation and can fall into sin. And so we need regularly to look to God's word that tells us that we deceive ourselves if we pretend we have no sin, but that invites us to come again to the Lord Jesus. Indeed, again and again to the Lord Jesus, confessing our sin, trusting his wonderful promise. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Indeed, such is God's unconditional grace towards those who repent and look to him in genuine faith, that even if at the end we have completely messed up in our service for Christ, Paul is able to write in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11, "For no foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay or straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. But if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire." What grace! But let that not be us. Let us be those who trust and follow and who seek with the help of the Holy Spirit to do that which is well-pleasing in the sight of him who loved us and gave himself for us. And so this morning, let us take away with us verse 44. "Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect him." He is coming. He's coming unexpectedly. So be ready. Amen.